change had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. You'll notice that we don't currently have the intro. Still working through some system issues that we'll have resolved here soon. But until then, you got me as a DJ. So the boys are back. That being us, that being the NBA tonight, which we'll talk more about as we go along. Matt Cilic, our resident NBA expert, going to join us. We're also going to – we'll be hoops heavy because we're going to have – speaking of our guy, Luke Goody.
Let's go!
Joining us as he did last year, every week, and he's going to be kind enough to join us in studio here coming up at 4 o'clock. So I'm excited to talk to Luke.
You know, I've always said in this business, in the end, when it's all said and done and I finally just say, okay, I've had enough, you know, it's been a good run. It's things like that that are so cool. Number one, just to be able to meet people and have friendships that obviously you and I and well, Kyle kind of have developed through the year, you know, and what we will develop and such. I'm kidding, Kyle. And so the idea of being able, you know, we have Luke Altmyer on Mondays, and that's fun to kind of get to know him. And you see his character, you see his personality. And then Luke Goody's the next guy that is so fun to visit with. He's a guy that when I run into him, like in a tailgate lot, you know, they always set the basketball team up right there. He's always super nice to come out and visit. He loves to chat. He just loves Illinois fans. And I know you guys had talked about you were surprised that Luke Goody was in that starting lineup a little bit. Not tons, obviously. You're not ripping Luke Goody. But surely with Gary A, we kind of thought maybe that would be an interesting fit. But I kind of was too, to be honest with you. But I was super excited too. And I was like, you know what? I love the idea that Luke had to sit out most of last year. And then all of a sudden, you know, this year, I mean, to me, I almost feel like whether or not that continues or whether or not this happens, he kind of earned that spot. You know what I'm saying? With what he did to come back last year, to give a season essentially to Illinois when he knew he was only going to play maybe 25% of it. That and again, you know, I don't know if you can pay it forward or pay it back, but it's a big time game. It's a big financial game and such, but I think Brad Underwood really, truly appreciates a guy like Luke Goody, and I think Illinois fans do as well. And it's good having him in that lineup. And obviously, whether or not you start or not, these guys at this age, I don't think really care much as long as they know they're going to get the minutes. And certainly Luke would be a guy that if he wouldn't have started, would have come in and given you just as many minutes as hard as he can. But I thought it was kind of a nice little, kind of an earned start the other night for Luke Goody, and I'm excited to be able to talk to him again for another season. And not only that, but with him playing. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool. You know, last year it kind of stunk because you could hear the pain in his voice essentially of not being able to be out there with his guys, especially if they had a rough week. This year we get to talk to him while he's out there with his guys, and I can't wait for that. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. And Kyle and I talked about it yesterday, just the idea of putting as many shooters or much floor spacing as you can around Ty Rogers. I certainly understand
big
that
time
plan, and it's something that looked good, and it's a small sample size, but I think that lineup is something that offensively can pose some problems, and it does open up the floor. It does give you Damask on the perimeter and Goody as well, and Shannon, obviously, and if Coleman is able to – improve that jump shot, which it looked good last Friday. We'll see how it goes going forward. But, yeah, no, I get it with Luke for sure. I mean, me saying that I thought Quincy would start at the four wasn't like, I don't think Luke's good.
No,
Luke
no,
he's
I
good
know.
Enough to
I
start.
Didn't mean to
or,
call you
no,
out.
I'm not saying he did. I think it was just kind of that interesting, like, oh, Brad's thinking about something that a lot of us just aren't talking about. We've kind of tinkered around. Would it be Dane in there? Would it
yeah.
be Quincy? I had even wondered, you know, maybe Justin Harmon as another mm-hmm. ball handler gets an opportunity in there as well. But, you know, Luke really played well down the stretch of last year. It
right.
obviously took him a while, longer than he anticipated to get cleared, and then had some games where he's just trying to get his legs back under him and get conditioning and get kind of back in that rhythm, which is tough to do for a shooter
yeah, big time.
In the middle of the season. But I was pulling up his game log, and I remembered he shot it well down the stretch, but, I mean, 10 points against Purdue in the regular season finale, hit mm-hmm. a couple of threes. Penn State in the Big Ten tournament, of course, Illinois painfully lost that game, but Luke hit a couple of threes in that one, hit a couple of threes against Arkansas. So, I mean, six for nine in March, six for 10 in March from three. So, yeah, looking for him to continue to build on that. We know that he's someone that plays with a lot of effort and brings the shot making. Is a guy that's never going to be shy about chasing down a rebound or sticking sticking his nose in a crowded area to try to pull out a loose ball. So, yeah, I'm excited for him now going in as an upperclassman and excited to be joined by him again each and every week here on the drive.
I want to ask you about this with the efficiency thing because he was 3 of 10, I believe, the other night from three-point line. And I think you need more efficiency out of Luke than that, right? But we get that. But it is nice to know that you can kind of pencil in two or three threes a game out of him, right? You know you're going to get that. Excuse me, out of Luke Goody, and there's going to be games maybe with more. There might be a few where he doesn't connect on maybe more than one, let's say. But it's nice to know that you've kind of got that in there on a team that is desperate for three-point shots. So that is something. You know, the thing that I worry about here with Luke coming, especially, that now I kind of have two guys, and this is going to be tricky for me because Marcus Damask is kind of my SIU guy. But Luke Goody's always kind of been my guy. So I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, Derek. I got to kind of be pretty transparent with Goody and say, you know, I mean, Damask did play for my alma mater. And although you're from Indiana and I've been wanting an Indiana guy. This keeps me up at night, basically. It actually doesn't. But it would be interesting if it did. Maybe it will tonight. Maybe I'll wake up in the middle of the night and go, who should my guy be? Who should my guy be? It will be fun though to visit with Luke and get him in here, and he's just awesome to talk to, and the spirit he has, the energy he has for this team, and to know, again, I can't overstate it enough, that he is part of the attack this year, and that's going to just, to me, make our conversations with him even better. It was cool to kind of explore the other side of that a little bit of what are you doing to get ready?
Yeah.
How tough is this decision? You know, we had his decision on our air when he decided that, yeah, I am coming back. I am going to play. And, you know, he even then at the end when we talked a little bit about the portal and he's like, well, I'm just going to tell you I'm back, you know, and that was cool. That was cool to kind of get kind of the behind the scenes of Luke Goody. But now I'm ready to get the on the court Luke Goody and some of the stuff that he goes through. So I'm excited about it and let's get it going. It's kind of a tease, isn't it? When they played and then now you got to wait a week.
It was a little bit of a tease, but we got a big one coming up on Sunday, Illinois, Kansas.
Let's go.
It's going to heat up in a hurry.
I bought some tickets today, the Michigan State game. They've got individual tickets now being sold. So I was able to get in and snag that. It's so hard for a lot of us that have, You'll run into this one day with, you know, like when Cade starts to play high school basketball and such, you know, unless he's the stud quarterback like you were and just decides I'm just going to be the star in the locker or in the hallways. But, you know, it's hard to kind of like you're kind of balancing two schedules and trying to figure out when you could do it. But, yeah, we locked into that Michigan State game and the Legacy Club, which will be cool. So I'll be able to kind of go down and see that. Admittedly, I've told you I don't go to a lot of basketball games. I've been to a lot. I used to cover them. I used to sit down where you sit, but I don't know. Football's more about it. And then basketball, I watch every game, but I love watching it kind of at home. And as soon as it's over, I can go to bed and not go out and get frost off my windshield. And there's plenty of you that go. So I don't feel bad that I'm like letting Illinois fans down when it comes to that.
Sure.
Hey, Jim Harbaugh didn't know anything about this whole Michigan thing.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
I had
no idea that yesterday you were DJing and not playing off our system. Like I didn't know that. I didn't know you were YouTubing. I thought you were just playing it off our system. I had no idea. I sit 2 feet from you, but I had no.
I've got no drops on here. Right. I got commercials.
No idea that you were doing that. So if YouTube comes to me, I'm going to be like,
oh, you're being sarcastic.
Oh, I'm totally being sarcastic. Yeah. Because, you know, Jim Harbaugh.
I thought I was that smooth.
He's standing like 2 feet from this kid on the sidelines. But, oh, I don't know what he's doing. I don't even know who this kid is. Is he a coach? What?
Dang it.
I thought he was like a media guy or something that would just happen to be helping my defensive coordinator call in plays and stuff. So, yeah, come on.
That's fishy.
Is he going to the Bears?
Someone has to.
Would you be, where would you be on a 1 to 10, 10, like we're going to the Super Bowl? How excited would you be to get a guy like Jim Harbaugh?
I'd be pretty excited. I mean,
I agree. He's done it before. He did pretty well. Okay.
He's been to a Super Bowl.
Yep.
With the Niners, of course.
Niners and coached the Colts, right, for a while? Or did he just play with the Colts? He played
play with the Colts.
That's right.
Coached Andrew Luck at Stanford.
Oh, that's right.
Before jumping into the pro ranks. And then, and obviously he's had a lot of success there at Michigan. And I do wonder, like, it's a different game in terms of college. And you look at his offense there at Michigan, and it probably isn't the – it's not the Mike McDaniel offense. I would probably lean towards having a guy that's – currently in the NFL running a NFL style of system, especially one if you're trying to fit it towards Justin Fields, or if you are in a situation where you're going to draft Caleb Williams. So I would wonder about that, because I think that one thing that I wanted in this last hire that they didn't have, and then if there was going to be a regret about it, is that I think that the head coach is the opportunity to hire the best mind in the building.
Yes.
And why would it not be a play caller? Mm-hmm. Especially for your offense in that type of a sense. So
it's a good way to look at
that's
it.
That's not to say that there aren't kind of head coaches who just oversee everything,
right,
or you know, leave it up to an OC to dial up the plays. Like Andy Reid, I think, has stepped back now. Eventually, you know, down the line of his career, and not calling plays. He teaches his OCs what he wants, essentially.
Sure.
But the bottom line on Harbaugh is he's well connected and a known commodity in terms of that sense. So I think he could probably bring together a good staff just because he got a good reputation. He is crazy. And maybe that's what the Bears need.
He is very weird.
Maybe they need a strong personality that's going to go in there and not care what anybody thinks.
Right.
And maybe,
I'm weird, by the way, so I can say that about him, that he's
right.
Weird.
Yeah, he's weird.
He's weird like me.
He's pretty weird.
So, but
and
you're
maybe
right.
He just tells the McCaskies, like, just do what I say.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I think it'd be a intriguing hire. I'd be on board with it. Would it be my first choice? I don't know. I'd probably have to think a little bit more about who else I'd want, but I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's just interesting. This whole Michigan thing is going to be interesting to see what happens with this, because it seems like it's picked up speed, and it's picked up some interesting thoughts on – I mean, this guy, ESPN, reported today that – I know Yahoo Sports broke this, but ESPN reported today that he has purchased like 30 tickets, like or tickets, I'm sorry, to like 30 different Big Ten games or other games, and had people in different regions of the country. Is it Stallion? I don't know how to say his name. But essentially he was sending tickets to like Kyle out in Utah when he was out there, you know, with his family. Kyle was actually out there scouting Utah and a future Michigan opponent. So I didn't realize that till today, but that came out. So Kyle's part of this. So that's interesting. And then in Florida, he sent tickets to me, and I didn't use them. I went to the Buccaneers game, and I think that threw him off. So I feel bad, but now I'm not indicted in this thing. But I don't know. It's just interesting how this is all happening for a guy that makes $55,000 a year at Michigan, according to the report, and he's out there buying, you know, really good 45-yard line tickets just above the football team so that he can get good video of that. And if anybody out there is like, well, scouting, you can do that. That's fair. There is an explicit rule with the Big Ten that you cannot go in person and do that, and nor are you allowed to video scout with your own phone. And you know, other – I'm wondering, like, I'm assuming Illinois got contacted – the ticket office and said, hey, we need to know if this guy has purchased a ticket to an Illini game. And one university actually went back and looked at the video of the entire game and found whoever was sitting in that seat was recording the entire game, the other sideline. So this happened. So there's no way of saying that this didn't happen. Now it's the idea. Can you put the dots together from A to B that Jim Harbaugh did know about this? And there's always that then underlying theme of, well, this is your program. And so you are kind of the godfather of the program. You're the CEO. If one of your employees is doing something wrong, you're supposed to know about this, or at least find out about it. Or unfortunately, you're going to take a little bit of a hit as well because you are the person in charge. So I don't know. I just, you know, we understand that, Jim, for a different recruiting violation during COVID, imposed a 3-game ban when they were playing, you know, Villa Grove, Tuscola, and Newman. And so I think they luckily they get, were able to beat those three teams and get to 3-0. But and like Kyle said in the text to you and I today, it's like yeah they'll come down hard on him again, and he'll have to sit out the Central Connecticut State game and like Delaware State and whatever. So at least I mean I almost go into it with some humor, knowing that they're going to find something, they're going to penalize Michigan. This guy's going to lose his job, the Stallion guy or whatever. And Jim Harbaugh will have to sit out like four games.
Mm.
So
here's Michigan's first three games of next year.
Oh, here we go.
Fresno State, Texas.
Oh.
Arkansas State.
Well, he's going to sit out 1, 3, and 4. I assume 4 is Rutgers.
I don't see that.
Or it could
one.
Be
that,
Illinois. It could be Illinois in Champaign, you know. Yeah. Wes said, hey, you know Kevin Warren would want him. With the Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, he does kind of have a Michigan love affair. So that's that. That's a good call, Wes, on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line.
I guess the question is how over the line is the violation? Like, we know with the Astros, the banging the trash can when you know what pitch is coming is something that is pretty clear cut. Like, that's definitely cheating. I'm not saying this isn't cheating or that that's in question. I just guess – What I'm asking is this a fireable offense, do you think?
To the coach, I think.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I don't know, but I think if you're Michigan, you wash your hands of him.
Yeah.
Right.
I just wonder how hard of a code it is to crack when you're trying to decipher, like Kyle and I talked about last week, the cardboard cutout boards. Like, there's Buddy the Elf on the right corner, and whenever they did that, they ran a corner blitz. Like, or you know what, or the three quarterbacks that are doing the signals. Yeah.
I'll give you my analogy. There are really small streets here in Philo where you could probably run the stop sign every time. You could do it every day the rest of your life and probably never get a ticket, but it's still the law that you're supposed to stop. And there is that chance that one time you run it and you run into someone or – and so maybe that's a bad analogy, but it's
no,
like –
I get where you're going.
That is still the rule that you cannot do that, but I'm with you.
No,
I don't
I'm not
know
saying
how much
that he
can,
shouldn't get in trouble. I'm just wondering
how
harsh should it be?
I don't know. I mean, they have video of him at an Ohio State game standing right next to the defensive coordinator, and Ohio State, it looks like on this particular play, Kyle, you might have to have my back on this, that the Ohio State offensive, you know, they're trying to call a play in, and this guy is standing right next to the Michigan defensive coordinator telling him things, and Ohio State is, like, confused because it looks like Michigan is basically covering up exactly what they're doing. And I think Ohio State has to use a timeout. And so – or it looks like it from that play. So I don't – you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
No,
I
mean, yeah.
I used to
I'm just
sit,
asking the question.
I used to sit in dugouts with guys that would be like, hey, if this guy taps his toe twice on his – like when he goes back to throw, if he taps it twice, he's throwing a rise ball. And I'm like, how'd you even, they're like, I noticed that in the first inning. I'm like, my goodness. And then I would watch it and he would like rear back, not tap, throw a fastball down the gut. Next pitch, he'd tap twice or something and it'd be a rise ball. And I'm like, how in the world did, you know, so I think some people are smarter than me, at least. I've always said, look, it's the people like, it's the people that do wrong in life that are the smartest people in the world. Seriously. The ones that, like, steal money or just do all these things, you know, come up with these elaborate themes for that are against the law, they're the smart ones. You know, idiots like me aren't smart enough to get in trouble, essentially. So, I don't know. I bet you anything, you could give Illinois staff one game of seeing what, like, Indiana's calling on a particular thing, and I bet they could figure out some of it. Does that make sense? Whether it's going to be a run.
Sure.
I mean, maybe they say, okay, you know, Elmo's in the corner, and when Elmo's in the right-hand corner, if they're lining up an 11, you know, whatever, what is JU, what am I trying to say? Like
11 personnel.
Yeah, 11 personnel. If they do that, then it's going to be a run to the left or a pulling guard from right to left. Or so. I bet you'd be surprised. I bet you'd be surprised, but maybe not.
There's videos of him interacting with both the offensive and defensive coordinator. There's pictures of him holding some type of piece of paper, something sheet that has signals on it of some kind. And there's pictures of him standing right next to Jim Harbaugh on the sideline.
Wow.
But I'm sure Harbaugh didn't know who he was at all.
I mean, dude, he's our military trained him. So I'm hoping he's really good at what he does.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's he was from the in the military, and got a job at Michigan, and he I guess the story was that he took a job at Michigan, bought a house, and Aaron Bede is how do you say it? Airbnb? Is that
Airbnb? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Every room in the house, and he slept on the couch just so he could afford to, because he didn't make much money at Michigan when it first started. It's interesting to dive into the story. Our guy Rittenberg's done a great job with it.
And they're still only paying him $55,000 a year?
$55,000, you'd think.
How much of that? Is there any under the table, or is he he's just trying to?
Surely not. Well, it's not coming from Jim Harbaugh, because he doesn't even know who the guy is, you know?
That's messy.
It's really weird, and it's weird that I know so much about it. It's very interesting to me. It's kind of like a spy like novel. So I've kind of just sat there and read a lot about this stuff on ESPN, Yahoo, and different things, because I think it's interesting to understand the how far teams will go to get an advantage.
Yeah.
And I know, like, you don't have people don't have to come at me and say, well, Lon, you know this takes place, and you know Illinois, the whole game is trying to decipher what, you know, Penn State on the other side is doing during the game and such. And I get that, and that's kind of legal. You know, I mean, I understand that we're trying to figure out, like, if you got a guy at second base and you're understanding what you're seeing, and you can give your guy at the plate a little bit of a tip of, oh, hey, here comes a fastball in case you want to swing as hard as you can. I mean, it's kind of the unwritten rule there, don't do that. But certainly I understand that that stuff happens. But
at least then it's the fair opportunity within the game. Like, both sidelines can be keeping an eye on each other versus the extra opportunity to go see somebody at a different game and then have the video.
Yep. That's where you run the sweep, the heavy sweep to the right side and bowl him over. That would be the unwritten – that'd be the unwritten rule. You put your heaviest guy like Caden Fagan in, and you go two tight end set on the right side, and you just sweep right, and somebody is taking that dude out. That's the bean, or that's throwing at a guy in baseball. Right?
Right.
See, I've done so well to try not to bring up baseball, and you even kind of brought it up, because I know if we go into that dark space, Derek is going to lose his mind. I saw your tweet again last night about you're in hell.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal, man.
Oh,
we'll talk more about that after the break. I am also wearing my bandwagon Arizona D-back shirt.
I saw that.
We got game 7 in Philly tonight.
Yesterday, you were very neutral.
I was.
I noticed that. You came in with a nice, it's not a golf shirt, but it was just it was a nice shirt that didn't have any affiliation to any team. And I wondered, what's going on with Derek?
I don't know. I figured this might be the last time I have a chance to wear this season, so I brought out the Randy Johnson jersey.
Can we get a Rangers? How mad will people be if it's Rangers Diamondbacks? We can talk about that next. I'm sorry. I can shut up. You can take a break. I'm anxious to hear your next song.
I'm going to have to think of it on the fly. I need to start coming in with a list, for the playlist.
I mean, we want Buffett.
You want to take song requests, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line Link text line, or any thoughts you have about this Jim Harbaugh scheme, scam, whatever you want to call it, or the games tonight the game tonight, that be it, in the MLB playoffs. We got some NBA to talk before we get out of here. So,
dude, that would be fun. Know. Real quick, when I was young growing up, WLRW had the top 5 at 9. I think that's what they called it. And I would record it. And then I would record the songs on a cassette tape. And then I would voice into a microphone when I knew who the top 5 was. And I'm like, hey, it's top 5 at 9 on WLRW. I'm Lante. Coming in at 5, it's Prince with, you know, and that's how I kind of. That's how I kind of enjoy it. So this would be fun if we can start getting, like, you know, some Snoop Dogg or some Jimmy Buffett kind of recommendations. Okay. I mean, let's go. Send them in.
And if you lead me into playing a song that has curse words and I get fired, I have your phone number and I will find you.
You'll know I'm behind it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, wait, isn't that Taze?
Yeah, right.
Why did he give me Guns N' Roses, My Michelle?
All right, we're due for a break. We'll talk some more baseball when we return, as well as any and all of your thoughts on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Looking for a custom design that stands out for your business? Wanting to get your vehicle wrapped but just don't know where to go? It's Aftershock Decals and Designs. From vehicle wraps to building designs, Aftershock creates designs that make heads turn. Heck, they wrap all of Lands heating, cooling, and plumbing trucks and vans. The one where Troy Lands is waving? That's Aftershock. Aftershock Decals and Designs. Heck, they also do signs, banners, even amazing coffee tumblers. Check them out at AftershockDD.com.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
Ready for some much-needed pampering and girl time? Merle Norman is just the place. Join in on the fun and frolicking on Witch's Day Out, Friday, October 27th, starting at 11, at Merle Norman Cosmetic Studio. We're talking door prizes, a spinning wheel with prizes and treats. Gather your friends and jump on your broom for a day of fun. Learn what works for your skin and rock some hot new looks. It's the fun Witch's Day Out at Merle Norman, Friday, October 27th, starting at 11.
Law Enforcement Official of the Month is A.J. Martin, University of Illinois Police Department. Any other Eagle Scouts on the department?
So that's a fun fact. I need to get a picture at the next football game. I think we've got 7 or 8 Eagle Scouts.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an awesome foundation for the University of Illinois Police Force.
It is.
What about the phones around campus? That's certainly been a help, right? Blue phones with
yeah.
the little...
So they're growing in assistance because before they were just a phone, but now everyone's got a phone. But now because they have phone lines in them, we can hook up cameras to them. So more and more of those emergency phones you're seeing start turning into... They get taller. They got that little camera on top. That camera has 4 cameras in it. It can show 360 around that phone. Mm. So it gets us to be able to spot things better on campus for an investigative tool. There's people that can go back and look at the cameras and find suspects. If we get a call in an area, we can see what's going on real time from an outside bird's eye view for some instances. That really helps out.
AJ Martin, he's our Law Enforcement Official of the Month. We appreciate what he does and everyone in law enforcement does. Thank you so much. Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes, and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helped me find the size of boot I needed. And then I bought a second pair, too. Everything was friendly. Everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com, Pards.com.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I love working at Carl because of the togetherness among the phlebotomy team and the opportunity to advance within the department.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra in a supportive environment with opportunities for growth, visit carl.org/careers.
Back in the drive, Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Didn't we use this sound drop for...
Yeah, we've got that. We used to have that.
Drive Time? Is that what it was?
I don't think it was this song.
Okay.
But we had this. We've had this song forever. Yeah. But I'm not. Anytime you go into this era, no complaints from Lon. I can promise you that.
Well, that was Matt in the UVI Lightning text line.
Oh, did Matt send that? I'm sorry. I missed that. Oh, Matt Lang, our guy.
That's right.
There he is. Let's go.
Let's talk some baseball before. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Derek,
I don't have the I don't have the drop anymore. The all piped up. It's convenient though. It's convenient. If you've seen me on Twitter, if you've just been watching the MLB playoffs, the ALCS in particular. Which, side note, isn't it weird that the road team won in all seven of those
Unbelievable.
Games?
Houston Astros didn't.
That's nuts.
They lost all four games at home in the ALCS. That's crazy.
One of those reasons is because Adolis Garcia, who is the ALCS MVP, who's already, has he set the record for the most RBIs in the postseason? He hasn't even gone to the World Series yet.
I don't even know.
I saw someone
say
that on Twitter last night. I didn't take the time to confirm it because I was too angry. He's hit a bunch of home runs. I think he's homered in four straight games. Hit a grand slam late in game six. Homered twice last night. And the Cardinals traded him for cash.
Yeah.
How much cash? Not enough to buy Max Scherzer contract or anything like that.
No.
Not to get an ace in free agency.
Now.
I know
I do credit Derek Gould.
The little disclaimer is that, go ahead.
Yeah, the Rangers essentially didn't have room for him, so they put him up for waivers. And he cleared every team in Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. including the Cardinals again.
Mm-hmm.
It's still maddening. That guy, if you look at his trip, if you look at his minor league numbers.
Yes. We went over this around the All-Star break as both Adolis Garcia and Randy Arozarena, Cardinals products that were starting in the outfield for the AL.
I mean, his minor league numbers are exactly what the Cardinals need. You know what it is? Between the power numbers of guys like Arozarena and Garcia and the strikeout numbers of pitchers now, here's where the Cardinals really went wrong. Do you want to know my thought on this?
Please.
When baseball essentially shifted from, and I don't mean the shift, no pun, although they did do the shift and then got rid of it, it seemed like baseball all of a sudden became more of a, not defense. That was no longer that big of a deal. Ground balls, defense. Baseball shifted to where you needed guys that threw strikes, hard strikes, to strike you out, and you needed guys that hit home runs. And the Cardinals were almost on the other side of that with guys that hit for average, guys that had a little bit of speed, and then pitchers that pitched to contact. And so while baseball essentially zagged, whatever, the Cardinals were on the other side of it. And then now they realize, Mazzaloc came out and said, we've got to start getting guys that can throw balls past hitters. And they're still looking for, of course, they thought Tyler O'Neill would be a guy that would hit home runs. Marcelo Zuna did a little bit, but then he moved on. And Lane Thomas is a guy that is more of the average guy. So he doesn't hit a ton of bombs, although I think he hit like 18 or 20. But you had Arozarena
this year.
Yeah.
Washington.
You had Arozarena. I mean, you got rid of him twice, didn't you, Lane Thomas? Did we get him back and get rid of him? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I was just looking.
You had Dexter Fowler. You had, obviously.
Oh, that's right. Harrison Bader,
Lane Thomas. Mm. We've seen Juan Yepes out there sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, Adolis Garcia, when I'm going back through his numbers, the last season he was in the Cardinals organization, 2019, in 132 games in Memphis, he hit, 32 bombs, 96 RBIs, hit 253. He did strike out a decent amount, but.
And they basically said, like Arozarena, we don't want the strikeouts.
Yeah.
Now, how do you ignore a kid hitting 32 home runs and 96 ribbies? How do you ignore that?
I know.
With a younger kid. And by the way, you gave him a $2.5 million signing bonus when he came from, I don't know where he's from. Q Cuba.
You
gave him a $2.5 million signing bonus, which was pretty expensive back then. And then you just kind of gave up on him because I guess he struck out too much.
He only ever got 17 big league at bats with the Cardinals before they got rid of him. That's a big criticism for me, is that like you didn't even give him a chance to show what he could do at the big league level, and then it already made a decision that he was a guy that you didn't foresee in your franchise's future. And meanwhile, you royally screwed up the outfield year after year after year after year.
The guys in front of him were Harrison Bader, who you ultimately traded.
A guy who hit like 225, 230 every year. Great defense.
Tyler O'Neill, who is hurt.
Every season.
Every season. Consistently.
And has had one good year. Dexter Fowler.
Who was seeing like a therapist.
That's
how bad it was.
Flop of a free agent signing.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Carlson, who's untradeable. Lane Thomas. Jose Martinez at one point before you traded him.
I like J. Martin.
Couldn't play.
I mean, Lindy pulls. It's hard to argue with what Lindy says here. Better question, how does Mo still have a job after his last five trades? And all you have to do is look at Marmol. I mean, they're keeping Marmol around. After what they did to Schilt, after he went on this incredible run and they made the playoffs, now you keep Marmol around. And so if you're going to keep him, then you're going to keep Mozeliak.
Well, isn't Mozeliak making the decision to keep Marmol?
Oh, sure. But I'm
guessing
that...
Because he can't... I think if he admits failure on another move of his, then it's like, what do you do here?
I mean, I'm guessing the DeWitts could say, hey, we strongly encourage you to get rid of Marmol. But that's the point, is that Mozeliak's not worried about his job.
Correct.
So, now, even me would be shocked if the Cardinals did another year like they just did, that everybody wouldn't be out of jobs. I mean, that would shock me. If they went through another 90-loss season or something horrific like that, which really is kind of now the going thing. I mean, the Orioles did that where they lost 100-plus games for three straight years and then all of a sudden turned it around one year, and now this year won 110. The Cubs did that forever. They were pitiful. And then it turned into they won a World Series. I mean, there's examples. Houston horrible. Then now they've been to, six or seven ALCS. So there's examples of that. Now, the Cardinals have never played in that game. They don't dip their toe into the tank. I know you'd watch this year and you would assume they were tanking. But I don't think they meant to do what happened this year. I mean, not when you've got Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt and guys like that on your team. Now they're obviously the rotation was horrible, but I don't think the Cardinals, they're just not a team that ever goes into that mode. They don't go into that tank mode of, hey, we're going to just try to be bad for 3 or 4 years and then all of a sudden we're going to be good again. They don't. And there's part of that I respect. I respect the idea that every year, and you and I have talked about it, every year except for last year, and there's been years in the past, but for the most part, they're always either a playoff team, and I know your issues with not winning games in the playoffs. I mean, my issue as well, but we can get to that. But for the most part, you know, you get to July, and you and I as Cardinals fans are still pretty interested because they're either leading the division or they're within earshot of the playoffs.
Yep.
So I think I'd rather have that than endure three straight years like we did last year.
Well, of course, yeah.
I mean, I'm old now. I'm not Kyle's age where I know I can go, that's fine. Go bad for three.
I think there's a price to pay for winning one postseason series in a decade, essentially, and also losing 90 games this year.
Yeah. And now to your point, that makes all the sense in the world. That's great to make the playoffs, but a lot of teams make the playoffs now. Now you got to do something about it. And that's where more of your issue is. I mean, look, as much as you hate to admit it, most teams have one-off years where they're bad. This happens.
It happens a lot.
We just haven't seen it in a long time. Whether that's spoiled or not, we have not endured that in a long time. So to have that, but the bigger question or the bigger issue, like you said, is, well, that's fine, but even the years that you're in the playoffs, you're not doing anything.
Not going
it.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Because you don't have an ace. You don't have Max Scherzer who went out and... Granted, Max is
he
old.
Was, yeah. But he grinded still, through that one last night.
He did. He was sweating. I mean, you looked at him and you're just like, he is giving it everything he's got. He had some pretty good pitches working.
Still throws decently hard.
That one inning, man, he sawed them down. He was throwing 95, 96. He had that, well, I don't know if it's a slider or a curve, whatever it is. I mean, they were check swinging horrifically. A couple balls in the dirt that they struck with, they struck out on. I mean, he was working it.
Other than serving one to Bregman.
Yeah.
That was
it.
Pretty much his lone big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a taunt, though. Like, to circle back to Adolis Garcia, is that the fact of, in the last, like, 5 years, two of the hottest hitters we've seen in a postseason, Randy Rosarena and Adolis Garcia, starters on the AL All-Star team, are just potentially stars in the making in the outfield where the Cardinals still have not figured it out.
I know. You heard my – I mean, months ago I said the karma that the Cardinals played with for so long, where Alan Craig was incredible – they'd bring in guys that I'd never heard of, and they were incredible. And it just seemed like everything worked. I mean, let's be honest. I have more of my friends that they are giddy about a Rosarena and Garcia. Giddy. And it's jealousy. Because they hated what the Cardinals had done for 20 years. They hated it. Fans hated it. Baseball hated it.
Yeah.
Yankees fans were tired of Cardinals baseball. We're tired of this best fans in baseball. We're tired of the Cardinal way. I mean, be honest. If you're sitting out there and you hate the Cardinals, you hate them because of that. And don't even tell me that you don't. So now with the idea that you can just stick it, and rightfully so, you can stick it with Garcia. You can stick it with the Rosarena.
With Zach Gallen. Sandy Alcantara last year.
And you know what? We're sitting here taking it. We're taking the punches.
Now there's too many examples.
But don't think for a second that this stuff happens to other teams, that they get rid of guys that go berserk. Now, do we hear more about it now because we are Cardinals fans and we live in this area and we hear, you know, I mean, we follow the Cardinals, so we know this may have happened to the Angels. I don't know. And I just didn't realize it as much, that they got rid of a guy that then turned out to be a World Series hero. But people hate. I don't even know if they hate him as much now, but there was a time there, a decade, where people hated the Cardinals. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, they were sick of the Cardinals. And they said it. So now it's their chance to just
drive it in.
How about Garcia? I'm like, I know all about it. You don't have to remind me.
I don't know if that makes me feel better, though. I mean, I appreciate the fact that there was a lot of reason for people to hate the Cardinals, and that was for our betterment as Cardinals fans. But now that we're on the other side of it, like, that shows that something needs to change, and the Cardinals are sitting back and be like, you know what? Next year will be different. We're going to run it back. We're going to bring back a lot of the same guys. We feel like these guys inside of our franchise just kind of underperformed this year. We'll roll out Matt Carpenter for five straight years when he hits 180. Who's making that decision, John Mozeliak? Like, this guy's an idiot. What are we doing?
I'm with you. A 309 said, that's why you hate the Steelers line. Bingo!
Yeah.
Bingo!
People hated the Patriots forever. Like, and now they stink.
Yeah.
So it goes in cycles, it does, but...
My whole life, the Steelers have been good. I mean, it is very strange to see the Steelers with what we see now. This is as outlier of anything in sports for me. To see us, I know they, didn't they win this week? I think they did. Well,
they beat the Rams.
They beat Baltimore earlier this year. I mean, listen, it is amazing to me to see a Steelers team this kind of off kilter.
And it's funny you say that, because they're 4-2.
Oh, my God.
Right? You'd think the world is imploding. I mean, would you have guessed that the Steelers are 4-2?
No.
You nailed it, 309. I mean, that's exactly why. Justin, you're right. I hate the Cardinals now. I'm turning the channel. Let's all say bad things about Justin now, because he changed the channel 3 minutes ago.
Kyle, is there a, for the Cubs?
I'm kidding, Justin.
Is there examples? I mean, like Lon said, there's going to be probably examples for a lot of franchises on this front. Who is it for the Cubs?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I know.
In terms of a parallel, like, you gave up on this guy.
Well, Greg Maddux is the perfect.
Well, I guess Schwarber is. Although it was a totally different circumstance. We're talking about guys that maybe didn't get their shot
with
the Cardinals, and then they traded them. But, like, now I know that Cubs are ruining the fact that they just said, all right, thanks, Kyle. And now Schwarber's a huge piece of a World Series contender. Gleyber Torres they had to give up to get Aroldis Chapman. But as we've said a million times, you do that trade forever and ever again because it helped you win a World Series.
You did throw in – you kind of threw in Dylan Cease to the Jose Quintana trade. He wasn't even the centerpiece. That's one.
But, of course, anybody on the White Sox, they're not going to prove you wrong.
Yeah, you'll never see, he's not going to be pitching in the postseason with the White Sox.
Sorry, Jeremy.
Then that's the other thing with the Arozarena thing for me is that the Cardinals got Matthew Liberatore. We don't even know if this dude's a middle-of-the-rotation starter. Right. We don't even know if he can be a reliable starting pitcher just to be in the rotation, just be a dude.
He's like the poster boy right now.
Just to be a guy in the rotation.
Yep. He's a poster boy of this. Like, you could almost say he's the poster boy because they are trying, at the end of the season, they were trying to determine whether or not he's ready to pitch in the major leagues all season. And this is the guy you got that you thought would be your probably two starter by now, or at least three.
Yeah.
And at this point now, you're running, like, test results to see if he and I don't know who else. I don't even want to go through my head of Zach Thompson.
Oh, God.
I like Zach, but, I mean, there are pitchers now that essentially the Cardinals near the end of the year were like, well, we've given up. Dakota Hudson. Like, we're going to see if this guy, whereas, you know, I read the article the other day, like, it used to be that we could see the idea with Zach Thompson and we'd get him out of the game. Well, at the end of the year, we're like, well, let's see if he can pitch through this because we need to know for next year if he can be. That's where the Cardinals are.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I found the RBI
Brock
numbers.
For Ernie Broglio. That's, yeah.
I found the RBI numbers that Derek was referencing. He broke the record, Adolis Garcia, most RBIs in a postseason series with 15.
Shut up, Kyle.
15 in a series.
20 total in the postseason, is the most before the World Series in MLB history and is one off the record for most in an entire postseason. Can you guess who holds the record for most RBIs in a postseason?
Hack Wilson.
He's one off?
He's one off. He has 20. The record holder has 21. Can you guess who it is?
Bonds?
Nope.
It's not Hack Wilson with the Cubs back in the day. Alan Craig.
Babe Ruth.
David Freese, 2011.
Oh,
really?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Interesting. Why didn't we keep Freese? Don't get me going.
We've done this before. All right, let's take this all the way to the top, and then we're going to have Luke Goody in studio here. But how about thoughts on tonight, guys? Arizona and Philly. I was really surprised that Arizona was able to get that one yesterday for as good as Aaron Nola had pitched.
No doubt.
But just right out of the gate, three runs for the D-backs. Philly doesn't have the ability to come back. Tonight it is
– I was asking who it was.
Brandon Pfaadt and Ranger Suarez, right?
Oh, yeah, Suarez.
And Pfaadt
was incredible.
Pfaadt was awesome in that – was that the game five over there in Arizona?
Right when they needed it.
It's hard to pick again. I feel like every time I do this, I'm wearing something Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm like, I think the Phillies will win, but
I'm going Diamondbacks.
Really?
That's going to be hard to win Game 7 in Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, that atmosphere is as good as you get right now.
You did call the Rangers. We were both on the Astros, and you called the Rangers winning, so.
Well,
Should we be excited about a Rangers D-backs? I know you posed that question.
I would freaking love it.
Yeah.
I would love it. No Houston, for obvious reasons. I'm done with them.
Yep.
I love it. I've always been the underdog guy.
Going into the postseason, you wouldn't have wanted to see like the Dodgers. Maybe you did. Maybe you wouldn't have with the Braves who just won it 2 years ago.
No, I would have been bored with that.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I don't respect what the Braves did this year or how good the Dodgers have been. I mean, I respect those teams. I'm fine with an underdog. And listen, it's crazy because Philadelphia is fun. I mean, Philadelphia Texas World Series would be, sign me up for that as well. I think it's I can't lose, because if it's Philadelphia, then it's like, how many runs? I'm taking the over
yes.
every game, even despite both teams having decent pitchers.
Like first team to 8 every game.
Right. But if it's the Diamondbacks.
The home run parlays we put together.
Yeah. I'm going to be like, hey, I'm good with the Diamondbacks. I'm good with watching Zach Gallen.
How about you, Kyle? Would you be cool with D-backs and Rangers?
Oh, I'd be fine with that. I do kind of want to see a Phillies-Rangers World Series. I think that'd be the most exciting matchup. But in terms of a team I would root for, the D-backs are the young, they're not a very hateable team. I like them.
Yeah.
I'll have to go on MLBshot.com if they win this thing. I need more to update my wardrobe. I need something to go through a full Game 7 of the World Series. But
they were so bad not long ago.
It's like 2 years ago.
Horrible. That's crazy.
Sure is. Sure is.
Go ahead. No, I don't want to start that thought. I'd be here until 4:30, and Luke Goody just walked in.
All right, we're due for a break. There it is. Luke Goody joining us on the other side of this. You're going to want to stick around. If you've got any questions for us, questions for Luke, hit us up 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. This is The Drive.
You've set your financial goals. One kid plans to go Big Ten, the other Ivy. Your bucket list includes seaside sunrises and sunsets on the slopes, or perhaps a second home away from it all. UC Bank can help develop the right investment strategy to take charge of the years ahead. UC Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Escape to the country at Curtis Orchard in Southwest Champaign as the kids enjoy the playground and the petting zoo and the country store at Curtis Orchard, featuring delicious apple cider, apple crisp donuts and pies, your favorite comfort foods made from scratch at the Flying Monkey Cafe. Come visit Curtis Orchard. Open now Monday through Saturday 9 to 6 and on Sundays 11 to 6. 3902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. At CurtisOrchard.com.
Every year on November 11th, the United States of America proudly celebrates Veterans Day. And at Muhammad Christian Church, we are very grateful for the men and the women who protect and preserve our freedom. And we recognize all veterans and salute our armed forces every day of the year. And this year, allow us to make those days special as we present the Muhammad Christian Church 18th Annual Living Flag. And you are cordially invited to join us as we are celebrating life, liberty, and the freedom of worship with our award-winning Living Flag celebration. This year, we are presenting our Living Flag on Friday, November 3rd at 7 p.m., Saturday, November 4th at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and our finale, Sunday.